Would you say new creation has begun? People of God, Christ is risen.
New creation.
With the resurrection of Christ, Christ is raised by the Father as the first fruits of this creation renewed. He's raised by the Father of the first fruits of this renewed world. Aaron and I, we have a garden in our backyard, and we look forward to having about 10 different kinds of vegetables. And last year we were very, very nervous because we planted all these seeds and nothing was coming up. And then, fortunately, we got a few green stalks, but we were worried that they might be weeds. And it wasn't until we got our beets, which were the first vegetables that we were able to eat. And we had 2 weeks of beet salad, beets with goat cheese, and also mint. You know, that's a beautiful salad, mint and goat cheese and beets, that we knew we were going to have a harvest. The beets were the first fruit of our harvest that gave us, let us breathe a sigh of relief and think, thank goodness, we're going to have a rich harvest here. And in a similar way, Christ is risen as the first fruits of this world renewed, which is the assurance, the security for us to show that the Father hasn't given up on this world, but Christ is risen as the first fruits and he will return to renew this whole world like the beets with this, the security that showed us that we were going to get a rich harvest. So in a sense, in his resurrection, it's like in Christ's resurrection, God is placing a huge tick of approval on his creation, saying, I haven't given up on it, and I'm going to secure its future. Now, the resurrection of Christ is a great reason to sing. So we're going to sing now, and we're going to sing it once, and we're going to come back to this song and muck around with it. Who knows the song, children, who knows the song, Oh, How I Love Jesus? Boys and girls, does anyone know that one? Well, I wonder if mums and dads and everyone else, if you can help the children sing. So, Oh, How I Love Jesus. Here we go. Ready, everyone? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Yeah. Easter Sunday is a great reason to sing, and we'll come back to that song and we'll muck around with it in a minute. But let's go now to our key text, which is Isaiah 65. Now, I'm not going to speak for long, but the little that I speak, we're going to go deep very quickly. So would you try and focus Isaiah 65, if you would? It's just past halfway in your Bible. Do turn up to it. Isaiah 65. And as we come to talk about this, let me give you some background for Isaiah 65. It's Old Testament times, and the nation of Israel was called by Yahweh to live with such beauty, especially in her practices of justice, that she was a light to the nations, that she'd be magnetic, and all the nations would stream to Israel and stream to Israel's God. But what happened is Israel did not live faithfully under Torah, under the beautiful life-giving law of the Old Testament. But instead she followed other gods and she oppressed the poor. And so in about 500 years before Christ, this is what happened. The Babylonians, which was the greatest empire of the day, the Babylonians were in the north, and they came to Jerusalem and they laid siege to its walls. And they defeated Jerusalem and they made it a rubble. And then they took many thousands of people from Jerusalem, about 20,000 people, and they took them on the long journey back to Babylon, where many died. And this, of course, this great defeat of Jerusalem is why we have Psalms like Psalm 137, which we all know. By the rivers of Babylon, there we wept. As we remembered Zion, they took us away to captivity, required us of a song. How can we sing a Lord's song in a strange land? We all know that psalm, perhaps more by Boney M. than the Bible, but never mind. But this is the background right here. And now in Isaiah 65, Yahweh speaks through Isaiah the prophet, and he says, watch this, I'm going to do something new. Now have a look what he says. This is very significant. for Easter Sunday. From verse 17, here's something new. See, I will create a new heavens and a new earth. Now, for now, let me say, God is saying there, I'm going to do something new. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. Now, have a look at verse 18. He's going to start talking about Jerusalem here. Verse 18, be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Can you note there, just tuck this away, that what Yahweh is going to do, this new thing, is to do with the physical city of Jerusalem. This is very important. He's going to come and do something physical regarding Jerusalem. Now, this has nothing to do with modern-day Jerusalem. This is before Christ, but it's physical, it's material, it's about this world. Now, let's just keep reading. Now, he's going to talk about long lives. If you have a look in verse 20, this is very important. This is one of the most misunderstood passages, I think. So that's why I'm going over it carefully. Verse 20, never again will there be in Jerusalem infants who live but a few days, or older people who do not live out their years. Those who die at 100 would be thought to be mere youths. Those who fail to reach 100 will be considered accursed. Now the reason he's saying you're going to have a long life is this. Because when the Babylonian army came down, they killed many, many people. And he's saying that's not how it's going to be in the future. I am going to be king. I am going to rule. And I'm going to bring a deep peace. And you're going to live long years. Now see what he does now. He starts to talk about houses and farming. Have a look here in verse 21. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. And he turns it around. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For in the days of, as in the days of a tree, so will the days of my people. And his point here is, when I do this new thing, if you build a house in Jerusalem, or if you plant a vineyard around the fields around that mountain, you'll be able to enjoy the fruit, and you can live in the house, because the Babylonian army won't come down anymore, because I'm going to bring a deep, deep peace. And that's the sense of this. I'm going to create a new heavens and a new earth. I'm going to come and I'm going to change everything and bring a deep peace here. And my angels are going to rest here. And I'm going to look after this place. And everyone is going to thrive. Now this is very, very significant, because this is the Old Testament vision that's speaking about Christ and what he's going to secure. And this is what it's telling us. This is very important. And we don't know this very often, that Christ is going to come and restore this world, these houses, these fields. It's this world. Now, the way I grew up, and the way many of us grew up, is we grew up to be thinking that Christ was going to whisk us off to another planet and going to create another planet out there, somewhere near Jupiter. And God was going to have some angels there playing harps and lyres, and we would all sing in choirs. But can you see that that is not the vision of the Bible when we speak about what Christ has secured? Christ is going to come, came here to restore this world. He calmed storms in this world. He healed lepers in this world. He made blind the blind see in this world. And he rose from the dead as the first fruits of this world renewed. I'm going to make a new heavens and a new earth is saying I'm going to do something new and something wonderful. And I just love that my favorite Christmas carol by Isaac Watts, Joy to the World, and that fourth verse that is about what Christ has secured in his resurrection. And listen to this. Isaac Watts so wisely wrote 500 years ago, no more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. Going back to Genesis chapter 3. Then it says, he comes to make his blessings flow. Now listen to this. Christ comes to make his blessings flow. Far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found. How far has the curse spread? It's corrupted every part of God's good world. But he hasn't given up in it. And in Christ, God has secured a future for his good world. And now Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, Christ has risen from the dead as the first fruits. And now Christ has risen. Soon you and I will be risen from the dead. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul Paul says this marvelous thing. He says, Christ is the first fruits, and then, listen to this, Christ will give the kingdom to the Father. And do you know what that means in biblical terms? It means he will give this world, restored and beautified, to the Father as Christ reigns over this world. That's the biblical vision. That's the Christian hope. And if you're ever tempted to think that our future is being whisked off onto some new planet, know this, and this is how Al Walters says it from Redeemer University, a wonderful retired scholar in our tradition. Let me quote Al Walters. He says, God will not junk what he has made. Of course, God don't make no junk. Al means God's not going to throw this world away because he's made a good world. And isn't that exactly what we see in the Gospels, in the life of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John? God striding about in his world, in Christ, fixing it up. So now, back to our song, Oh How I Love Jesus. It's interesting to think how to speak about the Christian truth and about the biblical story to our children. And it's interesting to think how to make sure our children's songs are speaking the gospel clearly. And so this is a song that I change a little bit so that I can get Christ as the Lord of his whole world in there. Now, boys and girls, tell me, if we look out the window there, what are some of the things that we see out the window that Jesus cares about? What are some of the things that we see out the window that Jesus is caring for and is looking after? What's something that we see in God's creation that Jesus is looking after at the moment? What kind of things do we see out the window? Can any of the boys and girls? What was that? Animals. That's wonderful. So we're going to sing our song again, everyone. And this time we'll sing, Oh, how we love Jesus, because he loves the animals. Okay, here we go. Doesn't scan as well, but it's very helpful theologically. And can you see what we're doing here? It's not just all about me, me, me. Jesus loves me, me, me. Now I get to go to heaven. It's Jesus as Lord and Redeemer of his whole world. There's a whole lot of theology packed into that switch. Can you understand what we're doing there? What's something else that Jesus cares about as we look out the window? What else we got? Yes. Sorry? Nature? Awesome, nature, because he loves nature. Okay. Let's go. What's something else that God cares about, boys and girls, as you look out the window? What else can you see out there that Jesus is looking after today? Yes? Trees. Because he loves trees. That's good. Here we go. You can see what we're doing here, can't you? This is very, very significant. How do we speak to our children shows what we believe and what we're hoping in. I was asked by our little one the other day. She said, I want to see Jesus. What do you say to that? And I said to her, Jesus will come back soon. And when he comes back, he will fix up everything that's broken in the world. We're very interested in doctors at the moment. So then I said, he will come and heal everything that's sick in this world. And another thing that's sometimes said around where we live, which is just lovely and melts our heart, is, I love Jesus. And this came out of nowhere recently. Now, when a child says, I love Jesus, what's our default? What do we shoot back straight away? Jesus loves you. And that's true, and we can say that. But I said, this is what I said, it's great that you love Jesus. I love Jesus too. Isn't it wonderful to love Jesus? And you know what? Jesus is caring for the trees. He's caring for the flowers, and he's looking after the mountains. And Jesus looks after the whole world. And when he comes back, he's going to heal everything and fix everything that's broken. At the heart of a biblical worldview is Christ, Creator, Redeemer. The gospel isn't all about me getting it on with God, me, though that is part of it. But it's assumed up to something much, much greater, a God who created and is loving this world to life. Now, can you see here that now everything changes? For this world matters to God. Therefore, justice matters, and ecology matters, climate change matters, refugee issues matters, indigenous issues matters, what you're going to do at work on Monday, Tuesday matters, carpentry matters, because it's God's wood, accountancy matters, because they're God's numbers, sports matters, because they're God's leather that makes the soccer balls, and they're his games. This world matters to God. Why? It's secured in Christ's resurrection, raised as the first fruits of the renewed world. So friends, know this Easter Sunday, that this is my Father's world, and broken and mysterious it may be, but it belongs to him. And in Christ, the Father is busy recovering his purposes for his good world. Isn't that wonderful? Let me give you a wonderful poem and finish with this regarding the resurrection of Christ. And I love this poem because it speaks about how Jesus' body was renewed. He didn't get a new body, he didn't get a different body. It's his body that was renewed. And this is so big. It's his body that's renewed. He wasn't a ghost. His body was renewed. And this is huge because it shows us that this world will be renewed. John Updike, seven stanzas at Easter. Here's just two of them. Make no mistake, if he rose at all, it was as his body. If the cell's dissolution did not reverse, the molecules re-knit, the amino acids rekindle, the church will fall. Listen to this. The same hinged thumbs and toes, the same valved heart, that pierced, died, withered, paused, and then regathered our out of enduring might, new strength to enclose. Isn't that wonderful? Christ's body was resurrected. He didn't walk around as a ghost. He was resurrected as a piece of creation. So what God has done for Jesus, and this is why we celebrate this morning, this is why we feast, what God has done for Jesus in his resurrection, he will do for me and you and all of creation. Or to say it another way, what God will soon do for the whole world, he has done in advance for Christ. Or to put it another way, Christ's resurrection is the first step of this world renewed. It's kind of like fresh grass growing through a gravel driveway. Can you see the green shoots? In Christ's resurrection, we see the first step of a renewed world. Brothers and sisters, people of God, Christ is risen. Amen.